Management said in a statement last week that as the number of hot days increases, we find that the prevalence of child malnutrition increases to a pretty high degree. Blum and her co-authors compared household survey data from 1993 to 2014 in five West African countries, including Benin, Togo, Ghana, Burkina Faso, and Côte d'Ivoire, with geocoded weather data collected by Princeton University, tracking the hours of exposure to extreme heat over children's lifetimes and during heat shocks. The study examined the effects of extreme heat on more than 32,000 children aged 3 months to 3 years old, finding that the average level of extreme heat exposure increased the prevalence of stunted growth from chronic malnutrition by 12%. The prevalence of low weight from acute malnutrition increased by 29%. The research comes as climate experts are warning that global policymakers are not doing enough to limit planetary heating to 1.5 degrees Celsius. If the global temperature rise reaches 2 degrees Celsius, as scientists warn, it is likely to, without major reductions in emissions, the average effect of heat exposure on stunting would nearly double, said the researchers. That means the level of child malnutrition in the global south would wipe out gains made by anti-poverty initiatives over the study period. We're talking about children at a very young age that will have changes for the rest of their lives, so this is permanently scarring their potential, said Ariel Ortiz-Boca, an associate professor and applied economist at Cornell, adding, "We are doing to reduce global poverty, and it is being eroded by our lack of action on climate." Programs that resulted in improved incomes, infrastructure, and child care practices during the study period help reduce stunted growth by 5.8% on average. While this progress has been welcomed in West Asia and in other low- and middle-income countries, it's occurring against the backdrop of rising temperatures and an increased likelihood of extreme weather events, said John Hodinot, a professor of food and nutrition economics and policy at Cornell, adding, "Our work suggests these rising temperatures risk wiping out that progress." The researchers said they believe the casual effects of extreme heat on malnutrition are not psychological and physiological responses to direct heat, but are rather related to factors including higher risk that children will be exposed to pathogens from food and water that's been exposed to heat, lower consumption of protein from animal sources due to reduced agricultural productivity could also be behind the spikes in malnutrition. The study was revealed that as extreme heat killed more than 1,000 people in Europe, broke a 40-year record in Tunisia's capital city as temperatures reached 118 degrees Fahrenheit and melted tar and buckled roads in China. Stephen Pawson of NASA Goddard Space Flight Center said, "Such extreme heat has direct impacts on human health."
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله Dear listeners, my very dear sisters, welcome to the realm of ladies. You are listening to IRB English Radio and this is Muslim Lady, in which we're going to discuss all the matters of women. So I am Asma, your humble host for today's episode, and here with me I have my very dear friend, Sister Sadiqa, who is going to help us with the questions.
Assalamu alaikum, sister.
Wa alaikum salam, and thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be back here again.
Well, the pleasure is all ours. Thank you for being here. Well, dear listeners, just as we promised, this is going to be the next segment for the story, the very sad story of infertility, which has got so much of burden on the side of the woman. So we talked about all the mental issues that would happen to a woman that is very much wishing to have a child, but she's not going to have a child of her own flesh and blood. This very idea is going to kill her, by the way. But then we talked that the environment, the people who are surrounding them, the family or friends must be so supportive and help them through this way. And a lot more of these kind of stuff. But now we're going to look at the Islamic perspective regarding... what we call as infertility in women. So is there some direct narrations about infertility of women?
Yes, they are. They're quite... before we get into infertility, I just wanted to mention a short point.
Mm-hmm.
So even though Islam looks at childbearing in a very positive light and encourages couples to have children, Islam also does come along and understands that it's not always going to happen. And we do have many traditional narrations that we've discussed in previous segments about miscarriage and how even miscarriage is looked in a positive light. I mean, positive light in the meaning that even the child is going to intercede for the parents on the Day of Judgment. So because Islam looks at it that there would be problems in carrying a child to term, infertility as well has been mentioned in the Quran. And we have the story of Prophet Zakaria. So Prophet Zakaria, like we know, did not have a child of his own till he was quite old.
Yeah.
And that was because his wife could not conceive.
And his wife was totally barren.
Yes, she could not conceive at all. Yeah. And they were both in a very old age. Now when we see the story of how Prophet Zakaria got a child, it is very interesting.
And inspiring, of course.
And very inspiring because it also gives us ways of how women can overcome infertility.
Yeah. Hope. And the doors of hope are open.
Exactly. And the doors of hope and prayers. Now, we have, obviously, we have the medical side of it that women should not ignore. Couples should not ignore,
especially if
there are medical issues surrounding infertility. But when it is unexplained infertility, as it does come along in some cases, let's look at the story of Prophet Zakaria. So in Surah Ali Imran, verse 36 to 38, It discusses that Prophet Zakaria enters the room where the mihrab where Hazrat Maryam was praying.
The altar.
Yes. And he saw a plate of fruits over there. Yeah. Fruits that were not in season according to the traditions.
Yes, yes.
And he's very surprised and he asks her, where did you get this? And she replies, God gives to whom he wishes.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a thunderstorm bolt to Prophet Zakaria.
Yeah.
And that desire to have a child from Allah who's the all giver comes into him. The verse says, there and then he prayed for a child.
That is very nice.
And Allah tells him, we will give you a child.
Yes.
The prayer worked, right? Now, there are 2 points over here I'd like to mention. First is, Prophet Zakaria in this issue realized he's a prophet. He already knows this. But sometimes we do require to understand us as humans, not Prophet Zakaria. This story serves as an example that Allah is the all giver.
Yeah.
And as we learn to understand this, it becomes easier for us to accept that, look,
you mean we leave it to the hands of God.
Exactly. We did not choose to come into this world. Yeah. Allah brought us here. So in some cases, Allah chooses not to bring a person into this world, right?
Yes.
So he chooses not to bring a child.
And maybe
to
it's the test of your life, you know?
Exactly. Like the Quran also speaks about this, that your wealth and your children are a test for you.
Yeah.
So understand this, that it is a test, but Allah is the all giver.
Exactly. He's always there.
Exactly. And the second point I'd like to mention is that Hazrat Zakaria prayed in the mihrab of Hazrat Maryam. In my opinion, this indicates that praying in specific places has a better result, right? So if you pray in a place that there's more of a sanctuary that has more sanctity, like Hazrat Maryam's mihrab was where she used to pray. And Hazrat Maryam has an amazing status in the Quran.
Exactly.
There's a whole surah dedicated to her. So yes. Hazrat Zakaria prayed in the mihrab of Hazrat Maryam. So when women, not women, couples, I'll rephrase
exactly,
it. Couples,
yes.
When they're going through problems, not only infertility, any other problem.
Any kind of problem.
And since it's the topic of infertility, go to the places of those who are great. You know, like we have the shrines of the Ahlul Bayt, the masajids, the mosques where people go, they frequent every day.
Yeah.
You pray over there. These are the places where Allah is glorified. Use those places and pray to Allah in those places.
Let's go for a little break and I'll be back in no time. Thank you for listening.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
I'd actually like to mention a story. This is a personal friend, right?
Yeah.
They struggled with infertility for about 5 years. They went through IVF, they conceived, and in the 6th month, they miscarried the child.
Wow.
Now, obviously, when you have a miscarriage in IVF, you do feel very hopeless because you have
It's a breakdown.
It really affects the person.
Exactly,
so this couple actually came to Iran. They went to the shrine of Imam Rida, alayhi salam, and they prayed. And I know this.
Will never let anyone down.
Exactly. And when they went back, as soon as they returned, they were able to conceive naturally. And they went on to have another pregnancy after that as well, conceived naturally.
Yeah.
Now, this
is
a couple
nice.
Who has struggled with IVF. Now, I'm not saying that couples should not go for the medical route, but what I'm saying is that keep prayer alongside
your health,
alongside your doctor appointments. Keep both of them together. Because prayers, like Allah says, dhikr of Allah is a sort of contentment, is a source of contentment for the heart. So a person who continuously prays, going through those struggles, it brings a level of contentment and peace in the heart.
Yes.
So a couple can take a deep breath and understand Allah is there. I will do what is my responsibility.
Yes.
And Allah will do what is his responsibility and what he thinks is right. The couple will do what they have to do. And Allah will do what he has to do. So as we keep prayers and these two together, inshallah, there should be a positive result for those who
are
struggling.
And by the way, you know, we have seen plenty much of couples who do not have children at all, but still the institution of their marriage is doing well. and they're very loving and they care for each other. So I get it that the idea of procreating in a religion is very important, and not just in our religion, in all humanity. The idea behind marriage is to have some children of your own flesh and blood, of someone to carry your name. All these things are existing, but still, maybe it is not meant for all people to be parents. We should come to a point to embrace this very fact that maybe it is not meant for me to be a mother.
Or it could be that maybe there's other solutions they could go for as well.
Because of course.
Because I think coming down to a woman who really craves to have a child and is unable to do so, they should always keep the hope in mind.
That is very important.
IVF, obviously the Islamic jurisprudential rules surrounding IVF, and those can be discussed. And then there's also another route, adoption.
Yes, that's very true.
Also, adoption as well comes with its own jurisprudential rules, mm-hmm. which the scholars are obviously very well qualified to answer these questions. But if a couple is unable to conceive and they've exhausted all their routes and there's nothing more, then, you know, maybe they can go for adoption. They can look at the jurisprudential rules surrounding adoption and go for that as well. And inshallah, you know, they have someone to care. And sometimes people are not very comfortable with adoption.
Yeah.
But we do see there's so many orphanages which require, you know, these mothers have a whole world of love to give. And that love can always, if they're able to go into orphanages mm-hmm. and volunteer over there, love those children like their own, God knows how much reward they will be getting. Because, you know, we have so much emphasis on loving orphans.
Exactly,
and
yeah.
treating them with the best of respect.
Giving them the life they actually deserve to have.
Exactly. So if, you know, if these women who have a whole world of love to give are able to volunteer a few of the hours to go into those orphanages, sit with these kids, love them like their own, and, you know, make them understand that you don't have a parent, I don't have a child.
Yeah.
But we can obviously, we will be with each other, we will love each other, and you know that love that she has to give, she's able to direct it.
The two of them would complete themselves.
Exactly. One has a lot of love to give, and one needs a lot of love.
Exactly, yeah, that's very nice.
And, you know, hopefully this can create a big pathway towards her own, creating a whole load of Jannah for herself in the hereafter.
Yeah.
And who knows, through the du'as of these orphans, in the end, she might actually end up conceiving herself
exactly.
as well.
And we have heard many stories, you know.
We have
plenty of examples.
Another thing to mention is that we mentioned in the previous segment that that women think it's guilt. And some people within a whole Islam, you know, they might try to be well-wishers again, but they come down with ideas such as, because you sinned, therefore God is punishing you.
Oh, no.
Please do not think that.
Yeah.
God is not a revengeful Lord.
Exactly.
114 times in the Quran, Allah calls himself. 113 times he starts in the Quran with him introducing himself as Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Allah is not here to take revenge.
He's the most merciful of
exactly.
all.
Exactly. Sometimes our actions can cause us to go through problems, such as maybe, you know, diet and stress, but it is not because of your sin. Hazrat Zakaria did not sin for him and his wife to not be able to have children. So our actions can lead to problems, but it's not necessarily a sin. But yes, sometimes by doing good, by giving charity, if there is any tribulation that's supposed to come on a couple, we have narrations that state if you do good, those tribulations are taken away. Now, given that infertility itself is a test and in some cases a tribulation for some couples, by doing good, inshallah, those tribulations can be averted from them as well. And the du'as of those around them, the prayers of those around them can come back and bring good for them. And, you know, they are able to have a natural...
Because when many people are praying for you, it's actually very different from the time when you are praying for yourself all alone.
Yes, because it is said when a person prays for another, Allah is very merciful. He looks at that prayer with a very positive light and accepts it, especially if those who are praying are very innocent Like we were talking around on the lines of orphan children, because those orphans have had such a hard life. Inshallah, their prayers can come back and have a good effect on this couple.
Yeah, that is very true. Thank you, sister. So this is all the time we had. Infertility is not going to define a woman. So it is always hope that is going to help you through the journey. Thank you, dear listeners.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity.
La ilaha illallah.
Muhammadur Rasulullah.
Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger, so Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Food for thought.
Hello, everyone, and here is what the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, says about rashness and haste. One who rushes madly after inordinate desire runs the risk of encountering destruction and death.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Thank you.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Some gardens are decorated with genomes and other cute ornaments, but this garden uses tank debris to stand out amongst others. The intention of the gardener isn't to have the most army-themed pitch. Valerie actually tried to remove the tank, but ultimately because of its size and weight, it was impossible. So he just let it stay. The owner says he is used to having the tank there, even though it reminds him of hard times. Next to the wreckage, this family has planted cabbage and potatoes, which they harvest and use each year. The tank was left over from the war between Russia and Ukraine that began earlier this year. British paleontologists have made an exciting fossil discovery which has been identified as the earliest known animal predator.
It's quite a large fossil. The preserved part is at least 20 centimetres tall, and it would have lived attached to the seafloor bottom. But it's a broken specimen, so we actually don't know how large the entire colony is. This is only a fragment of it.
Wilby says the animal had a stalk and a cup on top with little tentacles, which most likely used to catch food out of the water. The ancient animal is related to sea anemones, jellyfish and corals, and pushes the known existence of these species back to 20 million years. Wilby explains the fossil displays a key point in the evolution of animal. The fossil is said to be around 560 million years old and was discovered in Charnwood Forest, northern England, amongst over 1,000 other fossils.
Summer heat is here, and zoos are working to not only keep visitors cool, but animals safe during the hot weather. A Belgian zoo takes extra precautions to help animals survive a fierce heat wave that has left Western Europe sweltering. Pierre Deser Zoo, located in Wallonia in the province of Hainaut, provides animals with frozen food, fruit suspended in water, and extra showers. It has also created extra shaded areas with good ventilation along with water points to ensure animals have access to them. Zookeepers say managing animals in high temperatures requires good forward planning. Zoos across the world have a variety of responses to keep animals cool. So we humans are not the only creatures who feel significant stress during the hot months. Animals, too, are impacted by it.
Yeah.
Iran's city of Rafsanjan has hosted an international talent contest dubbed Stage Stars. The event is aimed at providing a chance for stage talents from across the world to come in the spotlight. Yusuf Jalali reports from Rafsanjan. Let's check it out.
This is a global stage for talents. The fifth International Stage Stars Festival wrapped up with the announcement of winners, who have been competing in four categories of singing, voice acting, show hosting, and sound impression. The top performances from each category won the golden mic and a cash prize.
The festival was a place for more serious competition between those who have a say in a stage performance. I'm so happy to be chosen by the jury as the best show host of the contest.
It was an amazing event for talents. I'm so glad to be part of this. Talents from all across Iran and many parts of the world competed in the festival, so winners should be proud of themselves.
Held in Iran's city of Rafsanjan, the two-day event brought together participants from 14 countries, including Iran, Afghanistan, Kyrgyzstan, Nigeria, and Turkey, to flaunt their neck for stage performance.
The scale of this contest is global. Many of us participants did not have any idea we could be stand-up comedians or show hosts. But when we got on stage here, we ourselves discovered our own talents.
I really love that, seeing that all people around the world are coming here and presenting themselves. It's a very great feeling. Of course, they will be progressed and they will develop yourself when they will got the result.
The jury is comprised of top Iranian actors, TV presenters, and voice artists. They say the competition has been tough, and those who stood out are real stage stars.
We tried our best to pick talents who really acted like professionals on stage. Not only should they care about the standards and principles of a stage performance, but they must innovate, improvise, and stand out.
This festival acted like a university for stage talents. It taught a lot of lessons about stage to participants, especially for those who failed to win the contest.
Organizers say this contest is not just about scouting for stage talents. They say the event helps shine a spotlight on talents and lead them to their community.
The fifth Stage Stars Festival is aimed at bringing stage talents to light. Many of the participants already have a few years of experience, so this stage is not supposed to discover them, but to springboard them to a higher level in their careers.
All of the contestants, even those who come from foreign countries, must perform in Persian. However, organizers plan to include other languages in the upcoming editions of the festival.
To those who won the golden mic here, this is a dream come true. But they say, aside from the prize, Stage Stars has marked a milestone in their pursuit of success, since they have now come under the spotlight. Yusuf Jalali from the city of Rafsanjan.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Age is just a number when it comes to pursuing your goals. That's what 98-year-old Italian man Giuseppe Paterno has proven. Paterno has become the oldest university graduate in his country for the second time. In July 2020, he was graduated in history and philosophy from the University of Palermo. 2 years on, he's now got a master's degree in the same subject. Paterno grew in a poor family in Sicily and always had a desire for learning. But he was unable to go to university at a young age. He finished high school aged 31, 6 years after he got married. Paterno's love to study or for study never stopped, making him enter the university in his 90s.
The biggest and brightest supermoon of 2022 has risen with a crimson hue above horizons across the globe. It's also known as a buck moon because it falls in July. The name does not come from its appearance. You won't see the shape of a deer on the moon's surface or anything. It refers to something that happens in nature at this time. It's called a buck moon because the antlers of male deer or bucks are in full growth in July. Supermoons occur when a full moon comes closest to Earth in its orbit. This is not the last supermoon of 2022. There will be another in August, marking the final supermoon in this year's set of four. During a routine X-ray examination of one of Van Gogh's paintings, art conservators at the National Galleries of Scotland have discovered a secret self-portrait.
When we saw the X-ray for the first time, of course, we were hugely excited, absolutely thrilled to bits. Such a major discovery of an alternative composition happens once, twice in a conservator's lifetime.
The self-portrait was found during an examination of an 1885 painting by Van Gogh as the museum was prepping for an upcoming exhibition on Impressionism. Hidden from view for over a century, the self-portrait is on the reverse side of the Dutch artist's painting called The Head of a Peasant Woman. It was found beneath cardboard and layers of glue. Van Gogh is known to have often reused his canvases, working on their reverse side as well.
When he took the painting to Paris, he didn't have very much money. He was scrabbling around and decided clearly to use the back of these series of paintings that he'd brought with him from the Netherlands to Paris to explore self-portraiture for the first time.
Experts at the museum believe the materials covering the self-portrait were applied in the early 20th century before the art went on display. Art historians say when Vincent van Gogh was low on money, he took to painting on both sides of his canvases, but over the years, some of his reverse side paintings were covered up and lost. The X-ray image will feature at the Royal Scottish Academy in Edinburgh starting in July.
Children in Qatar are helping a conservation program revive the population of a critically endangered species of turtles. The children help release the baby turtles after they hatch, which usually takes place during the dark hours of the evening. The hawksbill mothers are cared for, if needed, when they arrive at the beach to lay their eggs. When the little turtles emerge, the weaker ones are taken to facilities at the foundation. There they are cared for until they are strong enough to be returned to sea. Program managers say getting children involved helps raise awareness about the endangered species and how they can help prevent some of the challenges these turtles face.
As adults, we are kind of beyond hope. Our brain is no longer plastic. We can't really learn new things. But children have the power to really internalize all these things that they're learning, that they're seeing. They make these habits part of their life. They make decisions based on, is it good for the environment, alongside with economic value for money kind of decisions. And this is what we want to cultivate.
The children also get a chance to form bonds with the hawksbill turtles. Some of them have even named the one they are going to release. That's why life experts with the conservation program say only 1% of every 1,000 hatchlings make it to adulthood. Poaching, climate change, fishing nets and marine pollution have all contributed to the dwindling numbers of the species. The program was launched roughly a decade ago and has released 30,000 hatchlings into the sea in the last 5 years. Experts are optimistic about the success of the program.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa وبالإسلام دينا رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, salamu alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about Satan in the view of Islam. Please be with us. Today, Thursday, the 28th of Zilhijjah, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 6th of Mordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 28th of the month of July, 22 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment by recitation of chapter Al-Hijr, verses 39 to 40.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. قال رب بما أغويتني لأزينن لهم في الأرض ولأغوينهم أجمعين.
Iblis said, My Lord, because you have put me in error, I will surely make disobedience attractive to them on earth, and I will mislead them all.
إلا عبادك منهم المخلصين.
Except among them your chosen servants.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
ما لنا رب سوى.
Here we find Iblis revealed and exposed his true hidden intention. Though nothing was hidden from him, when Iblis answered Allah implying that he refused him and it was this man who paved the ground for his misfortunes, Iblis should be engaged from then on in attracting them to be material blessings of this world by decorating and vanishing them, thus seeking make them engage in them. Therefore, ultimately, he would cause them all to be misled. Thank you very much for joining us. You are with this program. Today's a special from IRIB English Radio, and the title of this part is Satan Did Not Thwart Allah's Plan. By refusing to prostrate before Adam and by causing Adam and his wife to be expelled from Jannah, Satan in no way disrupted Allah's heavenly plan. Positively, nobody can upset the will and plan of Allah, even in the slightest. He, Allah, is the creator and the master. All other beings are his creations and servant. Whatever Satan did and whatever Adam and his wife subsequently did was within the framework of their God-given freedoms and powers. Their respective actions connoted an aspect of the range of their potential choices. They chose what they chose and acted as they acted, so everybody had to live with the foreseeable consequences. if hypothetically did not choose what they chose, they would then have chosen something else, which again could not exceed the parameters of their assigned freedoms and competencies. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bayna sta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with studying various ways of satanic temptations. It can be deduced from this that so long as there have been many Satans against the divine prophets, how wouldn't it be possible for ordinary people not to be enticed and not to be entrapped by Satans? Whereas some Satans try to mislead divine prophets, certainly those Satans certainly mislead human beings. So because of this, we find that everybody should be watchful in this regard. Another point and another terminology in this regard is, I mean, Satan's party or partisans of Satan. The Holy Quran indicates that Satan has got some people, some partisans, some fans, and because of his fans, he's going to mislead other people. إن الشيطان لكم عدو فاتخذوه عدوا إنما يدعو حزبه ليكون من أصحاب السعير. Certainly, Satan is your enemy. Therefore, you have to regard Satan as your enemy. إنما يدعو حزبه ليكون من أصحاب السعير. Certainly, Satan wants to mislead you and to take you to the divine hellfire. From this perspective, it must be indicated that Satan, when he overcomes someone, or for example, the party of Satan overcomes some people, the first indication is that those people come to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, come to be oblivious of the memory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Holy Quran indicates it in this way: استحوذ عليهم الشيطان فأنساهم ذكر الله أولئك حزب الشيطان ألا إن حزب الشيطان هم الخاسرون. استحوذ عليهم الشيطان. Satan has overcome them. فأنساهم ذكر الله. So Satan caused them to be oblivious of Allah, of the memory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أولئك حزب الشيطان. Those people belong to the party of the Satan. أَلَا إِنَّ حِزْبَ الشَّيْطَانَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Certainly, the party of Satan are the losers. So we find that those people who are oblivious of the memory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are certainly followers of Satan, and no doubt the followers of Satan are the losers in the long run.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every palm.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
Satan's best strategies, one of them is contention. Satan is the father of contention. He delights in seeing good people argue. When there is contention in your home or workplace, immediately stop whatever you are doing and seek to make peace. It doesn't matter who started it. The other strategy is being stingy. Do you ever get that nagging question in your mind every time you want to give charity? You wonder to yourself, can I really afford to pay this much? Guess who's planting that question in your head? Definitely that evil. The more you stack up, the more Allah's blessing will be removed from your wealth. We all love money and wealth, but it is something we must overcome as it brings the love of Satan. Answering this question, how to defeat Satan. Rectify and strengthen your belief is in the oneness of Allah and your sincere obedience towards Him. It's important to understand that sincerity in your actions and in your belief towards Allah will play a key role in the success. One cannot completely get rid of his Satan. The Satan will always attack him until the point of death, and so one must be vigilant at all times and fight on at every moment. Someone was asked, "Does Iblis sleep?" He smiled and responded, "If he had slept, we would have found rest." The camel gets weakened during its journey due to its heavy loads, so it becomes skinny and frail. Similarly, the Satan of the believer gets weakened due to heaviness of his anger. This anger increases as he sees the righteousness of the believer and his obedience towards Allah, so the Satan lingers at a distance like a dog lingering on the side.
We say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قل ربي أعوذ بك من همزات الشياطين. Oh Allah, I seek refuge to you from the whispers of shaitan. Do we hear the whispers of shaitan? No. Do we feel the whispers of shaitan? Yes. We certainly feel the whispers of shaitan. I remember when you're in high school, and they come to you and they say to you, "Let's do something. Let's go out this Friday." And you know those people are no good. They're up to no good. They're going to make you do something wrong. So shaitan comes and says, "Listen, man, just go. As soon as they start doing something wrong, retreat. Go home. Don't hang out with them. But for now, they're just telling you, let's hang out." And those whispers seem extremely reasonable. So we start hanging out. And as soon as we feel that there is something wrong, we want to get up and leave, shaitan comes and whispers again. In an extremely reasonable way, "It's okay, just sit down this time. Hang out with them, but just don't do it next time. It's going to be embarrassing for you." So you stay, and that one particular night can drag us. It can open the door and lead us to the great evils of shaitan. And shaitan, believe me, he doesn't have mercy. You think he's going to think, "Well, this person is just beginning his life. Why should I ruin his life? Why should I make him miserable? Let me go find someone else." No. "This person just had a child. Why should I lead him down this path?" No. "She's a mother. She needs her children. Her children need her." No. Shaitan cares less.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you so much for joining us. That was all for today's special. Inshallah, we continue this interesting topic, that is the difference between Satan and Iblis and the concept of both of them. So we meet you soon. Till then, we leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time. And fi amanillah. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi.
محمد نبي علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.